You're listening to The Skeptic's Guide to the Universe, your escape to reality.
Hello and welcome to The Skeptic's Guide to the Universe. This is your host, Stephen Novella, president of the New England Skeptical Society, and this is our special year in review for 2007. Joining me this evening are Bob Novella.
Hey, everybody.
Rebecca Watson.
Happy holidays, everyone.
Jay Novella.
Hey, guys.
Evan Bernstein.
Another year come and gone.
And our number one fan from SGUfans.net, Mike LaSalle.
Hey, everyone.
Oh, hey, Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Thanks for joining us again, Mike. And thanks for all your work on our fan site and on our blog over the past year.
No problem.
So we did this the same thing last year. We spent our last episode of the calendar year reviewing the past year, just reminiscing about the good and the bad and the funniest and best things that happened on our podcast over the previous year. And we also asked for some feedback from our listeners, which we did again this year. So we're going to do some follow-up on some of the stories that we covered during the year. We're going to give you some of the stats about how we're doing. And then we're going to, you know, at the very end, we'll look forward to what to expect and what our plans are for the upcoming year. So this past year, 2007, was a big year for the Skeptic's Guide. A lot of good things happened, and unfortunately, some very bad things happened as well. Of course, you know, we can't think about 2007 without thinking about that this is the year that we lost our very dear friend and fellow rogue Perry DeAngelis, who passed away about halfway through the year. We did our memorial episode where we just spent an episode talking about Perry and what he meant to us in the show. So we're not going to go over that again, but it's definitely that was a very sad occurrence for all of us. But the good news, the bright side, is that the Skeptic's Guide pressed on, moved forward, as we know without a doubt that's exactly what Perry, you know, would have wanted for his project, for not only the Skeptical Society but the podcast that he helped found, to press on and survive. And we did. We actually did it without missing even a single week. Something that I'm proud of. I'm sure Perry would have been proud of as well.
Definitely, Steve.
Yeah.
And you know, I hate to actually start on a down note, but we did lose a few other prominent skeptics in 2007. And in a way, this episode is a little mini memorial to all of those in our small community who did pass away this year. In addition to Perry, Barry Beierstein passed away shortly after our interview with him. Actually, we interviewed him earlier in the year, and
we might have been the last interview he had.
And Jerry Andrus also passed away this year.
Yep, around the same time as Perry.
Yeah,
people die in threes, you know.
Ooh, numerology.
That's scientifically proven.
Yeah. So we're safe until next year, right?
Yeah.
It's a whole year away.
Now, what can we say about Perry? You know, we've already said it. Everybody knows how we feel. It's one of those wounds that heals very, very slowly. And, you know, he was instrumental in the show, and he was one of our best friends. You know, we're doing what Perry would want, and that's as good as it's ever going to get.
Yeah. Still think about him every day.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt.
He was a tremendous presence, you know, both psychologically and intellectually.
And physically. You know,
physically, whenever any interesting story comes up, you just have to think, what would Perry say about this? What would he think about mm-hmm. this?
Yeah, well, I mean, he's still a tremendous presence.
And he was so funny.
You know, if you want to talk about how funny Perry was, we can play a couple of Perry quotes. This is probably one of his funnier ones.
Yeah, monkeys clearly perfume themselves. It's one of their higher order functions that they do. Unlike birds, by the way, who always smell like bird shit.
Classic. Monkeys versus birds. I always thought that it would get old, but it never did.
It's true.
So it's a little uncomfortable listening to him, though, because I really haven't listened to him really for months. It's just bizarre hearing his voice.
Evolution accelerating? Absolutely. In fact, 2 weeks ago, I was a goldfish.
That's a great quote.
Yeah, great one-liners.
Excellent one-liners. Yeah. You know, Bob, that is interesting. You know, I have gone back and listened to some of the older episodes with Perry, and it's interesting in a sense. What the podcast has captured of Perry is really obviously his essence, but you know, in a way, now he's immortalized, and you know, it's a great thing that we have these episodes. Mm-hmm. In order to, you know, help keep the memory of Perry certainly alive. It's more than a memory. It's really there. You can go back and listen. It's something really special. And you know, I with a smile I go back and I listen to those old episodes.
Yeah. I believe that China will control the weather. Doesn't cooperate, they'll have it shot.
Fucking Perry was so funny.
That's one of my favorites.
Oh wait, now this is Perry right here.
How can two mathematicians come to a different conclusion? Well, one of them's a dick.
We were laughing back then over his quote.
He just slices through it, you know.
Yeah.
Well, despite our losses, we did have a great year. Otherwise, we had an incredible lineup of interviewees. I'm just going to read through them really quick, starting with our first one in January. And here they are: Spencer Weert, Todd Robbins, Hal Bidlack, John Rennie from Scientific American, Teller of Penn and Teller, Jim Underdown, Phil Plait, Adam Savage, and Tori Belici from MythBusters, Christopher Hitchens, Matt Stone from South Park, Julia Sweeney, Scott Dickers from The Onion, Richard Wiseman, Ken Fader, Robert Lancaster, David Seaman, Susan Blackmore, Bug Girl, Barry Beierstein, Fraser Cain and Pamela Gay from Astronomy Cast, Gareth Hayes, Orek of the Respectful Insolence blog, Scott Lillianfield, Brian Trent, President Jimmy Carter.
Who was that, yeah. Steve? Who was that interview?
President Jimmy Carter.
Interesting. Carter. Very interesting. Barry Glasner, Bill Nye the Science Guy, David Cahoon, Richard Saunders, John Blumenfeld, Mark Abrams, Mark Crislip, Joe Nickel, Graydon Square, Paul Kurtz, Lawrence Krauss, and Alex Securis. And then last week we just had Richard Wiseman on again.
So who was everybody's favorite interview of the year?
Well, the Jimmy Carter interview was pretty special.
Yeah, that was in
that was certainly
class.
Our most prestigious interview of the year, you know, by far.
I have to say that my favorite was Chris Hitchens going on about dirty limericks, yeah. And Diane Sawyer.
And chain smoking while he's doing it.
Yeah. Chain smoking, drinking. Hitchens at his finest.
That was amazing. Awesome. That interview was incredible with Hitchens. I mean, that was a hoot.
It was. I liked Me Here and Now. And
got that one.
I also like Mark Crislip. I like Mark Crislip.
Yeah, I was going to say Mark from Quackcast. He's a really funny guy, and his I was thinking just recently again how his podcast is probably one of my favorites. Very informative, but he's just funny in almost everything that he says.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and he's a good guy. He's a very good guy.
Wry sense of humor, which I always appreciate. Our fans on the message boards, the most commonly cited favorite interviewee was actually Bill Nye, the Science Guy. A lot of people liked having him on.
He was great. He's one of those people that we could just interview for 4 hours and never run out of a second of material.
Yeah, he was upbeat and very willing, and it was great that we were able to finally track him down. We'd worked on a while getting him to come on, but that was really a nice interview.
He's in my top three skeptics. I think out of all the skeptics out there, he's definitely one of the biggest and greatest out there now.
Yeah, Bill Nye is a great guy. He certainly is getting it done. Get her done. Wasn't that one of his things?
Get her done.
Yeah, that's
my favorite. My favorite.
Pretty sure that's a second.
I think
my
favorite quote from any guest that we had on the show of the whole year was Bill Nye saying, "I'm going to change the world."
Yeah, you pimped that a couple of times.
I love that.
Gee, I wonder why.
I love that. It's so freaking right on.
We had a lot of good bits this year. I think the in 2006 the biggest topic that we like to talk about and come back to is the bird monkey bit, which we did come back to a little bit in 2007. We broke some new ground. We talked about the whole the fanny pack versus the utility belt discussion.
The utility belt.
Yeah,
hold on.
I like that one.
We have audio on that.
The skeptical utility belt.
Oh, let's hear it, Jay.
Keep the phone on your belt near your groin. You'll be all set.
Yeah.
Wait, can I just say, as a girl, don't do that. It looks so dorky. Okay, go on.
Do I have the cell phone on the hip?
The cell phone on the phaser. Don't do it.
the Star Trek Seriously. Next Gen phaser.
Don't do it.
Where else are you going to wear your cell phone if not on your hip?
Yeah. Let me ask you a question.
You can carry it in your pocket, in your man purse.
Why won't women wear cell phones on their hip? I don't get it.
Yeah.
Because it looks ridiculous.
But you know what? My wife throws her cell phone in the purse, and then she can't hear it ring. So she
yeah, but she doesn't look ridiculous, does she?
Yeah, no, but she doesn't answer her cell phone.
No, she's hers.
She's being impractical.
Yeah, and she's not getting brain cancer because she's not answering her phone all the time because she can't find it. There, problem solved.
Or groin cancer.
I'm not going to advocate that people wear, like, fanny packs or anything, but I think this is case where function trumps fashion.
No, 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 no. It is practically... You are right next to fanny pack.
No, no, no. It's like, totally different.
I know that you've been walking down the street thinking, you know, this phone clip to my belt is cool and all, but wouldn't it be better if I could stick a little bit of money next to the phone or maybe put my keys there? Hey, you know, I should get like a larger sack to carry the phone in.
No, you're missing it. Rebecca, you're missing the whole angle here. First of all, wearing an electronic device on your hip is way cool, okay? That's number one.
Oh, you are so confused.
Number two is you're going in the wrong direction by going towards a fanny pack. We should be going in the utility belt direction.
I agree. Oh, absolutely.
Yes, absolutely.
You're a genius.
Awesome. Yeah, Batman. That's a great idea. Have you considered a cowl while you're at it? A cowl?
Cowl?
A cowl pulled over your face, yes.
Maybe those are only for evil. Those are for villains, not heroes.
No, but come you on, can have... Batman has a cowl. Hello?
He's the Dark Knight, okay? He's right on the edge.
Just don't do it, okay? It's bad.
You can have like a little change thing on there. You could...
Yeah.
You know, if you can get a really...
The only way an electrical device attached to your hip is going to get you laid is if it's a vibrator, okay?
Yeah, we pretty much covered that.
You guys are completely delusional. Yep.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
Has anyone's opinion changed since then? I'm curious. Any of you guys?
Oh, no. I'm still working on the whole utility belt thing. We got to bring that to fruition. The skeptical utility belt.
You're true believers in the utility belt.
You're a denier. Rebecca, you are a utility belt denialist.
Admit it. You're wearing a fanny pack now.
I'm wearing fanny padding because I have no ass, but that's not quite a fanny pack.
He's wearing three fanny packs, actually.
Some other funny moments that our fans voted as their favorites for the year. Definitely, far and away, the one that got the most votes was the science or fiction episode where we were giggling like schoolgirls.
Which one?
Was that the nanotubes?
All right, let's take them in order, Jason. She wants to take them in order.
Let's do that. Let's do it.
Item number one, study shows that carbon nanotubes can be used... What? Do it! Give me a second.
God, Steve.
Steve, okay, he didn't edit this?
He's laughing so much. What does it mean?
Speaking of your response, Bob, this is funny.
Okay.
Study shows that carbon nanotubes can... Can't get by carbon nanotubes.
Can I just say there's no other podcast on the planet where carbon nanotubes would cause so much giggling, so much schoolgirl giggling.
Oh, shit.
We love you, Bob.
All right. Rebecca goes, he's actually getting angry. All right. Can be used to heal bone fractures 7 to 8 times faster than natural healing and results in 60% increase in bone strength. You guys all think that one is science, and that one is, in fact, fiction.
The interesting thing is that, you know, when I'm doing the post-production, I'm thinking to myself, should I leave this whole episode in? Or I actually almost cut it out because it's just, you know, a huge...
Well, normally
segment.
You do, because there have been other times we've all cracked up. And
I know, it just struck me as so funny. I mean, I just was laughing so hard while I was doing the post-production, I decided to leave it in. And then it turns out to be the most popular segment in the whole of the whole year.
Yeah, I got the most votes.
Yeah.
It really was. I mean, I can't listen to it now without cracking up every time.
Well done, Bob. You played the straight guy perfectly in that whole exchange.
Yeah, actually, the roles were completely reversed. Normally, it's Steve.
Exactly.
I wasn't in that.
I remember after we did the episode and went live, Mike calls me up, and he was like completely blown away by that bit. you just went on for like 10 minutes about how funny it was. And I didn't even remember it being that funny when we did it. Like, yeah, we laughed or whatever. I went back and listened to it, and it knocked me over. It was so funny.
It was just the laughter was so contagious was the thing.
It was. It was real. You know, it was a very real moment. You know, we do have other moments like mm-hmm. that in which we do kind of, you know, lose ourselves a little in the moment. And it was also, I think... If you recall, it was, I think, right a week or two after, I think, we lost Perry.
Yeah, it was a shortly sort of after needed, that time. Lighthearted segment.
Yes, it was a release of sorts that was just correct for the time and the moment.
What episode was that?
113.
Some other bits, you know, without playing them, just to mention some of the other bits that got votes for favorite bits for the year. The time where we made up words.
Cromulation or whatever. Cromulation.
Rebecca was getting frustrated about making up of words. Constriculated, yeah. Evan was responsible for most of those shenanigans.
Well, I have a lot of practice. I make up a lot of things in day-to-day life. Yeah. So just spew it out there whenever.
The discussion about having the TV in the bathroom.
Oh, that was classic.
Oh, that turned into, I think, toilet at the computer somehow.
Right. Yeah.
Yep.
Right.
All right, here's one I have to play. I have to play this one.
Nice. All right, Bob.
Here we go.
Crap.
Everybody, hold on. Wait. Guys, revel in it. Everybody revel in it. Ready? Okay,
go.
Here we go.
All right. Everyone ready? Everyone settled in? Comfortable? Okay, Bob, go.
Settled. Wait, I need to go get a coffee.
Okay, go ahead. I'll still be going.
Go around the corner, Rebecca.
Hey, go
it's
to Starbucks.
Just a Starbucks. It's across the street.
Poor Bob.
Bob, you go on.
You asshole, it's done. All right.
Then, of course, that dovetails nicely into...
Bob, go first.
Bastard. Let me digest these. Hang on a second.
Here's the good part.
I should have burped when I came back.
Wow,
do you know how long
music,
it took
Bob?
Me to find a usable audio clip of that music? But once I had it in my mind, that music playing while Bob was thinking about his answers, I could not rest until I found that audio clip to put into that episode.
Brilliant.
Bob, if it's possible, if there's an entrance at TAM 6, you walk in and I'm playing that, I've got to make it happen.
That's your walking around music, Bob.
Bob's theme music now.
That's my theme music, yeah.
Right.
What else we got, Steve?
Oh, boy.
Whatever.
there was another. Well, another segment that was frequently mentioned by our fans that they like, which is also one of my favorites from this year, was the whole discussion about my interaction with Michael Horn, who is the apologist for Billy Meyer, the Swiss UFO guy, and just the depths of ridiculousness that this guy got to. And where the story just kept getting more and more and more ridiculous. That was a really funny bit.
With the two hot chicks who get photographed.
Yeah, the photograph of the two dancers from the 70s. Those were his aliens.
Yeah.
That is beyond insanity, and it's priceless material.
He took pictures of the television screen. Unbelievable.
And other times he showed as evidence pictures of, like, taken from magazines.
Yeah.
Wow. Talk about not being there.
Slick. And then he threatened that if we did not interview him on our show, then he would send out a press release saying how we acquiesced to all of his claims and everything. It was ridiculous. And we basically...
Oh, no, not a press release.
He did. I actually looked. I looked on his website. I searched on it, you know, in preparation for today. I could not find any follow-up or that he had any reaction to it. We did tell him... No, screw off. You know, we're not interviewing you and we're not acquiescing to any of your claims because you're an idiot. And no follow-up from him. So it was all bluster. Speaking of which, I did try to find a follow-up to some of the stories that we covered this year. The one that I really wanted to follow up was the free energy device claims of Stern, that Irish company. That, you know, they remember over the summer they were going to...
Yeah.
Demonstrate their device, and then the demonstration didn't go so well. Remember the the lighting or something was interfering with this free energy device that's, you know, created by magnets.
Yeah, physics.
Well, yeah. Light, you know, light is actually very heavy, and that's what was screwing it
so
up.
So I wanted to find out, you know, it's been like 6 months. You know, they promised that they were going to do a follow-up demonstration. So what's happened with these guys? Well, they haven't done anything in the last 6 months. No demonstration, nothing. There have been some interviews since then, and they're like not really talking about the demonstration or what's coming up. They said, you know, very vaguely, yeah, maybe it'll be, they think that this next demonstration will be in Dublin, Ireland, but they're not giving any timeline or anything. So, I mean, they're really acting like, you know, the company is just looking for investors. And, you know, I think at this point they got to know they don't really have something legitimate. But they still exist. They're still sticking by their claims. But, you know, I wouldn't hold your breath for any demonstrations of their free energy device.
Maybe we just need to invest some more money into it.
Right.
Send them a check or something.
Billions of dollars.
Bob, how much should we invest?
And that, billions of nano pennies.
Wow, those are small pennies. Hmm.
What else? Any other follow up, Steve?
I tried to do a follow up on. Remember in mid April episode, we did a little talk on a company, D-Wave. It's a startup company in British Columbia. They supposedly demonstrated the world's first commercial quantum computer. In February of this year, it was like a 16-qubit computer. And I think the bottom line in our discussion was that they provided no evidence to back up any of its claims. The details that they released were very, very sketchy about the inner workings of the Orion, which is what they called it, and that it was almost, you know, it's pretty much indistinguishable from a slow analog computer. You really couldn't tell, you know, is this really – you know, a quantum computer or just an analog computer, and you really couldn't tell. So that was many months ago, and I was able to find a few things about them. I found one really good quote. This is from Scott Aronson, a theoretical computer scientist at the Institute of Quantum Computing at the University of Waterloo in Canada. He said, "Over the last year, rather than answering scientists' questions about what, if anything, they've actually done that's novel, they seem to have descended even further into the lowest kind of hucksterism," which I thought it was a really, really fun quote. They did apparently make an appearance at the supercomputing conference in Reno, in which they were going to demonstrate their 28-qubit computer. And I tried to find out what happened at this convention, and I wasn't able to find anything. One guy actually wrote a review of the convention, and he just gave the briefest mention about this quantum booth that somebody set up. He didn't go to any detail, which kind of makes me think that really not much happened.
Wasn't much of anything, yeah.
Right? So if anybody can get any more details about what happened at the supercomputing conference in Reno last month, I would appreciate it. But it does not look promising at all.
Yeah, that seems to be a pattern. That companies send out a press release, they make a little splash, they're making claims about some incredible breakthrough or device, they get a lot of media attention, and then they just sort of fade away.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, it seems like in a lot of cases they're doing it either just for some free promotion, they're just using the press, a gullible press, to get them some free promotion, or it's part of some bigger scam where they're trying to get investors or whatnot. I remember the Raelians a couple years ago just announced that they cloned the first person, the first human being, and the press just ate it up. And then it turns out it was all fake. They lied. They made it up, and their defense was, well, look at all the free publicity we got. I mean, they actually said that. And then we got the free energy guys, you know, making their announcements, and Bob the quantum computer. There was also that fraudulent company that they're selling that device that finds people, you know, with magic. You know, you put like some sample of them in there, and then they could find them anywhere in the world. It's like this elaborate dowsing device. It's the same thing. It just sort of, I guess the con artists have found this new method of
fresh targets or something.
What's different though is that these are technologies that a lot of people, you know, like quantum computers, that I think, and a lot of people think, eventually will arrive. They will be here and make very significant contributions to science. So it's not like this is just pure pseudoscience.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, historically, Bob, that's a very common pattern too.
Right, the cutting edge.
People are pretending or claiming to have a breakthrough that's anticipated. For example, around the turn of the century, everyone pretty much figured that that manned flight, that building a heavier-than-air plane, if you will, was coming. You know, they knew for like the 20 years prior to that, that was something that people, multiple teams were working on. It was right around the corner. And, you know, a lot of people were making claims that they had developed it or they were looking for investors for it. And there was actually lots of sightings of people thinking that they saw, you know, flying machines. So that was just anticipating that technological breakthrough. And it's the same thing now. We're seeing stem cell clinics opening up before the stem cell treatments have actually been developed. People claiming to have cold fusion. Who knows if that will ever pan out, but these kind of developments that are anticipated, and the quantum computer is the same thing. So it's just it's a very semi-plausible scam. Yeah, everyone knows it's right around the corner. Well, hey, look, we're here. We have it. We've cloned a human, whatever. And then the other category, of course, is there's the perennial ones, the ones that have just been around forever, like the free energy machines.
I did a follow-up on Tom Cruise and Scientology, and basically, unfortunately, Tom Cruise is still batshit crazy, and Scientology still sucks.
Really? Follow-up. That hasn't changed at all?
Thank you for that in-depth report.
I have a few.
All right, let's hear it.
This is actually a quote from you, Steve, from one of the episodes that you did some updates on, and they all still stand. Kent Hovind is still in jail. Neil Adams still doesn't have a clue, and Ed Wern is still dead.
Yeah.
Those things are all still true.
Yep.
Still.
They are true.
Well done, Steve.
the third one's a surprise, but not the first two.
Yeah, right? No kidding.
So, Mike, you're here to help give us the fans' perspective on 2007 and the show. So, did anything else stand out for you from as a fan for the Skeptics Guide?
Well, you had basically the opening of the blogs. You announced that I believe you announced Neurologica in January. Mm-hmm. I think it was in January, and the Rogues Gallery opened in September. It was mostly, off-show stuff that's kind of made an impact on me.
Yeah, you've been helping us a lot behind the scenes.
And
Mike has actually been helpful, helping us in the web programming of the blog. So we did, at the very beginning of the year, I did begin the Neurologica blog, and that has worked out extremely well. I've really enjoyed doing science blogging over the past year, and I think that has been a very good complement to the Skeptics Guide. I think some things are just better expressed in writing, other things are better as a conversation, and they do complement each other extremely well. I've also found it very helpful that it's almost every week where I get emails from multiple people saying, hey, have you guys dealt with this story? And I could just email them back the link to my blog entry where I wrote about it at depth. So it almost serves as a frequently asked question. As a fact. But midway through the year, a little bit after that, we started the Rogues Gallery, which is the official blog of the Skeptic's Guide to the Universe. And Mike writes for that, as well as John Blumenfeld. So we've been able to pull in some more talent, as well as the Rogues. And that has been going extremely well. Also, again, a nice compliment to the show. In fact, the blogging has worked out so well that the New England Skeptical Society is going to be producing a third blog, which we plan to begin in January of 2008, so just in a couple of weeks. It's pretty much up and running. We should be getting the first posts going up in the beginning of January. This one is called Science-Based Medicine, and it is all about healthcare and medical issues. I'm only going to be one of the contributing authors. We're also going to have Wallace Sampson, Kimball Atwood, Harriet Hall, and David Gorski, all physicians who are talented writers who understand and work to promote the science as a basis for healthcare and medicine, and are also experienced analyzing and being critical of pseudoscience or bad science in medicine. So really looking forward to this blog. I think this could be a very respected, high-profile science blog, because we're pulling in quite a bit of talent. I'm actually also going to be inviting others to help participate in this blog to really pull in the best science medical writers and to address just day-to-day all of the issues that come up in the media with whether it's the latest acupuncture study or whatever. So we're really looking forward to that.
Who do you have so far lined up, Steve?
I just mentioned the four other people I have.
All the people he just said.
Well done, Jake. Comedic timing is genius.
Wallace Sampson, Harriet Hall, Kimball Atwood, and David Gorski.
Steve, you should tell everyone about that new blog you're going to do, science-based medicine.
Yeah, I got to remember to talk about that.
Who's going to be on?
So that's going to be a big project for 2008. So other plans that we have for 2008, we're going to be updating the website, including a new logo. Jay, you're spearheading that effort as our webmaster.
I have I've had some people help us with logos. Definitely wanted to thank the people that did help us and spend time with us working on some logo concepts. And that's going to dovetail into the new website. I have the site pretty much conceptualized at this point. I'm going to try to make it easier to navigate and everything. Another initiative that is going to definitely happen in 08 is we're going to start the Skeptics Guide membership. What it'll be is we'll have everyone register. We'll be sending out – we'll be collecting email addresses. I don't know if we're going to be sending out a lot of mail with that, but what we will be doing is sending out notices when we upload new content, like premium content. We'll have some type of subscription-based thing attached to that to help with donations for us, and there'll be more free content along the way and publicity items and whatnot. So we'll make announcements on that.
Now, Jay, will that come with a badge of some sort when people become members? Are they
decoder
they
like ring?
You can joke around all you want, Rebecca. But there's a lot of guys out there that responded to the utility belt concept. We might have to come up with something like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we could make it look like a communicator that you wear on your left breast area.
Nice.
a skeptical badge area. That looks like a Star Trek communicator.
Yes.
Very cool.
Next-gen style.
Because that would improve our audience's chances of getting laid considerably.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I think that's great.
Got some other the other ambitious project we have for 2008. So we're going to be adding a new blog. We're going to be reworking all of our websites. We're also starting a new podcast that we're going to be doing in 2008.
Yep. It's just like this one, only we kick off
that's
Jay.
Right.
Great.
The great podcast, we're still hammering out some of the technical aspects of doing this. This is going to be a 5-minute brief news item or topic of discussion that will probably be coming out on, say, Monday or Tuesday. Again, we're still working out the logistics, and we'll announce it with all the full details. The working title of this podcast is 5x5. So it's going to be 5 minutes with five skeptics, and we wanted to add a short podcast to give you something else to hang on to, during the week, and also because I think some people, do prefer the short format, and it wouldn't actually be that much more work to add an extra 5 minutes to what we produce during the week. So we're constantly trying to innovate and experiment with new ways of generating content and promoting skepticism and promoting the Skeptics Guide. We do appreciate the feedback that we get from our listeners, and also send us ideas. I mean, I think the best part about Web 2.0 is that we get to innovate. We get to think of new stuff to do and experiment, and nobody has the answers as to what really works and what doesn't work. We're just sort of all figuring this out as we go along. Not everything we try may work. We may try things that we decide ultimately aren't worth it or just didn't work. But I think we've been very successful so far, so we're definitely willing to invest more time and effort into everything.
We also want to retire. Yeah, Mike, I'm getting the impression that 07 is probably my last year on the show.
Is it? we'll give you that impression, Jay.
But we're going to introduce some new segments, maybe retire some older segments to keep the content fresh. And also, Evan and I are working on a very, very secret project that we won't speak of, but there's going to be some cool stuff coming your way in 08 that we're going to make that has not been done by us in any way before.
You'll know it when it's out there. You'll all be the first to know, we assure you.
We have lots of big plans. Sometimes I think that maybe we bite off more than we could chew. We have sort of bigger ideas than we have time for, but that's okay. Well, if
and by the way, we're still work on not it. Getting
we're
paid for
yeah,
any of this.
Yeah, we're still not getting paid a dime for any of this.
Nothing.
Good times.
Well, and it is true. I mean, you do bring that up. That the you know the more resources we have, the more we can do. We have no shortage of ideas and stuff that needs to get done in order to promote science, promote skepticism. It's just you know we're all doing this in our spare time.
Yep. Time and money; those are the only limiting factors.
It's a lot of work. So we do need, you know, donations help tremendously, but also, you know, volunteering time and following through. It's always the tough part with volunteers. So, for example, if you have web programming chops, you know, send an email to Jay, and Jay can farm out some of the busy work of tooling the website. That would help us tremendously. So
I just got an email from someone today that actually offered to help, but absolutely. I can use a lot of help. Any web programmers out there, especially classic ASP or .NET programmers that want to do some page creation and help me flesh out some ideas and everything, that would be fantastic. And I think I would be able to manage that a lot better.
But if you have other things too, I mean, if you like have marketing skills or ideas for developing, you know, products with our logo on it to promote or to sell, or getting grants to do educational projects,
media contacts,
mental health therapist, right.
Just any way to replace Jay for this year.
Yes.
Yeah,
right.
Jay, who I call the underappreciated rogue.
That's right.
Jay. Oh. Thanks, man.
And here's why.
That happens to me while I'm having sex. I just kind of tune it out. You know?
Yeah, so does Shay.
I recently traveled to Tanzania. That's in Africa, Jay. Evan, do you have a puzzle this week?
Yes, I do.
Why, Steve, why do you always ask him that? You know he's got one. It's rhetorical, Jay.
He's right, being skeptical.
Do you need me to define rhetorical for you?
I met Cheryl at the wedding for the first time, and I found that I actually like her better than Jay.
Yeah, well, we all do.
I
think my mom was still picking my shirts out for me. Like, I was not thinking about issues but that today's 13-year-olds are thinking
Jay,
about.
When you were 30, your mom was still picking shirts out.
I wonder how it feels to bask in my stupidity.
It's basically one long apology for the nonsense of creation.
I've always liked your stupidity, Jay.
March 29th, 2006 was a very important day for the Skeptic's Guide. Do you guys remember what happened on that day?
Jay lost his virginity.
This study was done with the Western Scrub Jay, a very intelligent bird.
The Scrub Jay. Yeah.
Scrub Jay.
Sounds like a real winner.
Just like our Jay.
Where if you bang your elbow, what do you do?
Rub it.
You rub it.
Cry.
The rubbing, if you're not a girl, if you're a guy, you rub it.
Not a girl or Jay.
People walking around with a very, very human-like body, but with a small, more ape-like brain. It was the exact opposite of what they expected with Piltdown.
Like Jay.
Most insect genitalia is internal until it's needed. And then there's a change in blood pressure, and it pops out.
Kind of like Jay's.
Thanks, Bob. Guys, wow. I have one more.
Is that it? There's not more? No.
I think you missed a lot. Oh,
that's brilliant. I think you did, actually.
A small sample.
Yeah, right.
It's like at the end of every derogatory comment, Rebecca's like Jay? Like Jay? That's like our Jay.
The hell am I, the shoeshine boy on this show?
It's
like,
my
what the
go-to joke.
Jay, because we know that you are such a good sport, and you're the only one on the show mature enough to take all the friendly ribbing. That's why.
Oh, I see, yeah.
Yeah, the
I'm the only one with
that.
Oh, Jay, I love you.
I love you too. You know, just in small doses, and it's probably not going to last much longer.
Oh, see, I didn't put conditions on my love.
I know. No, I know
it was
all
unconditional.
Guys, listen, you can't offend me. You can't upset me. I love the joking. It's the reason why I'm on the show. You know, it's what I bring to the show. I try to joke around as much as possible. And I open myself up to it, and that's fine. I don't have a problem with it at all.
And we appreciate you for it, Jay.
I appreciate you, too.
Nothing
Steve.
Like self-deprecating humor.
Bob gets some ribbing, too. Not as much as you, Jay, but we've ribbed
weird,
well.
Weird
we all
things
get some
happen
ribbing.
To Bob.
All of us do.
We get weird emails where, like, someone will be like... I really love the show, and you guys are really intelligent.
Even Bob.
That was just one email.
And I think maybe
did any of you pick out your like favorite or your least favorite email from a listener for the year?
Yeah, I have my least favorite email. I think I blogged about it at one point. There was this guy that wrote in and just went off on Rebecca about how he was totally mad at her because her comment was that she just quickly joked about us whipping it out, right? And he turned that into – I still don't get it. He turned it into Rebecca on a campaign to, you know, to put down men because her goal is to equalize the male and female sexes. So, you know, Rebecca is consciously putting us down and putting men down in general to achieve this goal. And if you re-listen to the bit, and it was very quick, and it was a throwaway line, you know, there was no intention, and Rebecca doesn't do that, and I just don't understand where this guy came off with that, and it actually pissed me off. I was actually very frustrated with that email.
You were. I think I did, because I was just like, oh, whatever, you know. We get silly things like that all the time, people think. People sometimes are very, very sensitive. They're like otherwise probably very rational, normal people. And then they come out like with this uber sensitivity that I will just never understand. And I can't really apologize for because I don't feel bad about making a joke about you guys whipping it out. Because I don't understand. I don't get it.
Well,
I'm not sorry.
The funny one that I remember from the year, we got an email from an Australian listener. And this was being critical of, again, it's like these offhand comments that we make for humor. They're not meant to be like serious. And we were talking about, again, it was the Michael Horn one where, you know, the aliens were fit 30 years in the past. And I jokingly said, yeah, like kind of like Australia. And, you know, everyone laughed. And I said, of course, I'm only kidding. And, you know, Rebecca even pointed out, it's like, hey, we have Australian listeners. And of course, it was completely tongue in cheek. And it's like months later, we get an email from, you know, a listener in Australia who like seriously took offense at that comment and is like no longer going to be listening to the show. And it's like you just can't anticipate stuff like that. But the my favorite part about this story was Rebecca wrote a response to this email. This is Rebecca's response. Greetings from the future. Stop. So glad you received transmission. Stop. Give our best to the kangaroos and convicts populating your island. Stop.
God. Did he write back? I forget.
No. And of course, we CC'd it to Richard Saunders, who's, you know, like.
Richard appreciated it.
He thought it was hilarious.
Actually, I eventually did get a response. And the listener, I haven't figured out if it's a man or a woman, so I don't know whether to say he or she. But apparently, he or she's still listening and thanked me for the response and thought I was his or her favorite.
Okay.
Oh, good.
I'm like, okay. For some reason, my incredibly snarky response actually had a positive result.
So. We don't usually send snarky responses back to our listeners.
Sometimes we just have to because it gets too, you know.
That one, that was so priceless. And it was so obviously so tongue-in-cheek we had to do that.
We do send a lot of emails to each other about emails that we get.
We do. If there's any question before I get another email, we all adore and love all of our Australian listeners.
Absolutely.
We don't have a problem with anyone from anywhere. I mean, it's
no.
You guys don't butcher the English language as badly as other people.
Almost just whenever we say something negative about any other country or people, whatever, we get some, you know, some feedback about that. And all I could say is that we're totally equal opportunity. Our snarky comments are equal opportunity.
Yeah,
we're probably the most critical of America, of our own country,
and of each other. I mean, we cut on
each other
quite a bit.
Oh, absolutely. I have an email I'd like to read. We received this one just recently. I'll read you the whole message. Here it is. If you are the pea brain who cut down nani juice, a natural healing miracle which has been very effectively used for over 5,000 years by others and over 10 years by me, you are not a skeptic. You are a closed-minded fool. And child, you sure as hell are not more informed, more knowledgeable, or smarter than Dr. Neil Solomon.
Is that true?
Dr. Neil Solomon. Yeah, I remember it took me about 2 minutes on Google to find a link that guy's a total con artist.
But he's an intelligent con artist.
Total pea brain.
Actually, he had to retire in disgrace because he was using his position as a physician to sexually abuse his female patients. Oh, yeah. That guy's a real winner.
Yeah.
You're not smarter than him,
I'm still not
though.
Sure that email wasn't a joke.
Well, that sometimes we have that conversation. We get emails like that, and Jay's like, this has got to be a joke. But it could be. Who knows? But the thing is, there's no reason to think that email is a joke. That's exactly the kind of emails that we get about specific topics. That's just a true believer. We touched upon his sacred cow, and that's exactly the kind of response that we get. I think it's completely sincere.
And Steve, you've been getting emails like
for
that
years.
For years. You've been because of the Nani juice, especially about the Nani juice. You say that some of your most
just in case there's a listener out there who doesn't know what Nani juice is. It's a made from the fruit of a tropical. I think it's Tahitian tree. And it's really bitter and nasty tasting, apparently. And it's just another snake oil. It's like all of these health claims are made for it without any evidence. And it's just being marketed, again, as a supplement to make money off of gullible people. That's what it is.
It has the cure list. They have a list that they pass around, literally. It cures cancer, quit smoking, fix arthritis, muscle, everything. Just the cure-all.
It also has the added bonus of being marketed through multi-level marketing.
And it's expensive. It's actually expensive.
So you're going to spend a lot of money to drink juice that tastes like crap, that doesn't do anything, and you have to work your butt off just to support your own habit.
And it's being sold by the likes of Dr. Neil Solomon, who's in jail for whatever crime.
For abusing his patients.
So, hey, you've got it.
I have a quote from one of our youngest listeners, if you'd like to hear it.
Sure.
Bug lady. Can they both be boys?
Who is that little cherub?
Oh, who was
that? That's Rachel.
That was my sweetheart, my little daughter Rachel, asking Bug Lady
a
question.
That was cute.
Girl a question.
But we do get an incredible number of very positive emails, and we do, as we said multiple times, we read every email. We greatly appreciate all the feedback that we get. And it still does amaze me some of the incredibly positive reviews and emails that we get. It does mean a great deal to us.
Yeah, I'd like to thank, before I forget, I want to thank Joe Schmo for helping us with a lot of marketing concepts and work that we were doing this fall, and definitely going to be working more with Joe in early next year to get our marketing plan on above boards and get it really rolling again. So, Joe, thank you very much. We appreciate your time.
Go, Joe.
And, Mike, thank you for your help with the website, with the SGUfans.net, and contributing to our SGU blog every week.
It's my pleasure.
Mike, you are officially
Yeah, Mike is
fan.
Way past – he's way past, like, the biggest fan now. Mike is – he does real stuff behind the scenes for us all the time. I mean, Mike and I talk almost every day about stuff for the show. So, I mean, Mike started off, he does. He does everything, actually.
And he travels internationally to see us.
That's right.
I mean,
we appreciate all the good reviews we've been getting on iTunes. Some of them are almost embarrassing. They're so effusive, but they are. I do love to read through these.
Go on, embarrass us more.
Okay, here's one. The Skeptic's Guide to the Universe is exactly what we need as a race to cure the diseases of mysticism, superstition, pseudoscience, and false logic. We are at a critical time as a race with environmental, societal, and superstitious concerns plaguing our day-to-day lives. Everyone should listen to this podcast because without keeping an open mind and skeptical mind, we are doomed to dire fate indeed. That's right, we're saving the world.
We are.
Change the world! Well, doing what we can. Magnetic Man.
I want to play a few of Rebecca's brilliant quotes that she had this year. This is definitely a good one.
Yeah, but I got a 50-inch high-definition TV downstairs. I don't like watching it on a 20-inch.
Bob, you have to do what I do. You hook up a computer to your TV.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Mm-hmm. Don't make us take away your nerd badge.
Nerd
badges, though, honestly.
This is another awesome Rebecca quote.
We need a control Z for this podcast.
That's damn good.
Yeah, that's a good one.
And I think now in 07, I think Rebecca's best quote was in 07, wasn't the...
Yeah.
My best quote ever?
Well, one of the two, I'd say.
Oh, here it is. Here it is. This is from episode 85.
Perry, show me on the doll where science touched you.
Okay, that was I'll good. I'll give myself credit.
And yeah, that was a good one. That was a good one.
He talked about that afterwards.
That was your comment when we were joking about Lorraine Warren saying, what happened to you boys? Was it the science thing?
Yeah. Here's another Rebecca one.
Hey, Jay, if you want the tits bigger, just blow more air in.
Oh, boy.
There's just so much love.
Well, as we're bringing our wrap-up episode to a close, I wanted to review some of our stats for 2007. At the end of 2006, we had just hit the 10,000 listener mark. And at the time, we discussed, well, what should our goal be for 2007? And we agreed that a conservative, but still somewhat optimistic goal would be to double that to 20,000. And we hit the 20,000 mark by about the mid-year. So we revised our goal. We wanted to get to 30,000 by the end of 2007.
That's listeners per week, right?
That's per week. That's our audience. That's how many listeners we're getting per week. That's right. And as of today, our most downloaded episode is at 29,164.
Wow. Well, we got damn close, guys.
Wow.
Wow.
We got damn close. I mean, the 30,000 is an arbitrary goal, but that's far exceeding our goal of 20,000 that we estimated for last year. And some other stats, we're getting over 5,000 downloads a day, over 50,000 downloads a week. Also, about mid-year, we broke the 1 million download, total downloads mark. And right now, so that was at like midway through the year, we're at 1 million. And now only like 6 months later, we are at 2.7 million total downloads.
Wow, that's
so
incredible.
We are still growing by leaps and bounds. Last year, we got a big bump after the holidays, which we attributed to everyone getting iPods for Christmas and then downloading podcasts. So,
well, we should see if that holds up again.
Yeah, I think so. And so everyone buy the iPods and the iTouch or whatever MP3 device you prefer for your loved ones and preload up all the Skeptic's Guide onto it. What should our goal be for 2008?
What, with these numbers or just in general?
Well, yeah. Well, with the numbers specifically, and anything else that you, any other goals for 2008?
I mean, is it possible? You think could we break 50,000 listeners in 2008?
50,000, I think, would be a very ambitious goal for 2008. But I think that's what we should set the bar: 50,000.
Wow,
50,000. All right.
It's hard. The thing is, we don't know where the ceiling is. We don't know where we're going to start to level off. But we do have a lot of plans to try to like really market ourselves this in 2008, which we really haven't done up until now. And, of course, we always appreciate our listeners spreading the good word and getting more people to listen. So let's say 50,000 for the end of 2008 will be our goal.
Yeah.
Good goal.
I mean, I won't be upset if we don't get there. I think it's incredible. Like, funny, you listen to some 2006 shows, and we're like, we have 1,000 listeners, you know.
Woohoo! And, yeah, I know. It's all relative. I mean, yeah, I know. But I'm extremely ecstatic to be at, you know, right at the brink of 30,000.
It is. It's incredible. I'd never thought we'd get this far.
It's very successful for a podcast.
I never thought. I mean, it's still talking like we always do. You know, I mean, when we got together with Rebecca recently and did the psychic fair, we had so much fun. Yeah. It was an incredible time. I mean, hanging out with Rebecca, doing some work, and just bouncing off of each other is so much fun. And
talking about it afterwards was really great. Just downloading and
absolutely, yeah,
yeah. Now, looking forward to 2008. Also, in addition to the new podcast and the new blog that we're going to do and reworking the website, we are going to try to do more live shows. The live shows have all been great. We're definitely going to do the annual live show. Like a Perry DeAngelis Memorial live show in August, but we may do others throughout the year. We're also going to all be at TAM 6, and we're going to do lots of of live interviews at TAM 6, and maybe also do like a live show with an audience there. We're still working out the details as to what we're going to do. So we're really looking forward to that as a big event for 2008.
We're also talking about maybe going to Dragon Con if we can all swing it.
Yep, we're talking about Derek from Skepticality invited us to go to Dragon Con, which he and Swoopy like run the skeptical podcasting component of that. So that's not something that we've done in the past, but we're thinking about doing that in 2008. TAM 5.5 is coming up January that Rebecca will be lecturing at, as well as others. Well, in 2008, a lot of good stuff in 2008. We're also planning on doing more investigations next year. We're going to obviously be doing the ones with Alex Sakiris from Skeptico, but again, we really enjoyed the Psychic Fair, and we're going to definitely plan on doing more of that, more in the field kind of stuff that always is fun and works out really well.
I have a few stats here, too.
All right, let's hear it.
Science or fiction stats.
Oh, Christ.
So for the year overall, that includes every single episode for 2007, Rebecca's on top with 69.8%.
Nice. Good work, Rebecca.
Thank
what you. Was it? Bob's right under Rebecca at 67.4%.
There you go.
Followed by Jay at 63%. And Evan rounds it off at 58.3%.
58.3? Wow. That's not bad for the lowest figure.
Also in 2007, I guess we should mention that there was a 9-game winning streak for, of all people, Jay. That was the longest winning streak for science or fiction.
That was when I was reading science news like crazy.
Hey, Jay, look at it this way. Steve got zero, okay?
That's true. I got zero correct in 2007.
Actually, Steve stumped everyone 3 times.
Nice.
And there were 16 episodes where everybody won.
Yeah, I got to ratchet it up next year. I was getting too easy on you guys.
And for overall stats, it's Rebecca 64.1, Bob 58.8, and then Evan 48.4, and then Jay 47.4.
Oh, my God.
So you guys did better this year than in previous years.
Yeah.
Well, we're certainly better than guessing average, you know?
Yeah, at least you're better than guessing. That's good.
for a while, there's some. For a little while, there, some of us were below the guessing, guessing
below
line,
random.
So,
I wish that we could gauge our listeners' responses. I wish there was a way to do it.
Yeah, because you don't want to make it too difficult for the listener, because you guys are getting really good at it. So, but yeah,
I think you do a great job, Steve. I know it's a pain in the ass to do it. It's difficult.
It's,
I know that you have to.
It's
do
a lot
it
of work. It's actually deceptively,
day.
A difficult segment to come up with.
And then there's the skeptical puzzles. Cosmic Vagabond started the year off on top, and then I passed him around a third of the year through, and then he tied me. But then recently,
Ole
Ivan.
Ole.
Ole.
What? Hey. Won a bunch, so now he's sitting at 7 wins against mine and Cosmic's 5. So,
wow!
But I did answer a puzzle within 2 minutes of it being posted. I'm very proud
of
that.
You get the fastest response, but Olay is on top of the greatest number of correct of wins for the year.
I don't think we can allow Mike to ever win the puzzle.
No, I can't. I can't win anymore. Actually, I've retired from skeptical puzzle answering.
Well, Ole paid the fastest, so I guess that's why he won the most.
Right.
Just kidding. Ha, ha, ha.
Also, I just wanted to mention that on Dig, we're number one by a
number
lot.
Number one on Dig.
Of
science podcasts.
The science,
for science podcasts, and we're number 33 overall.
33 of all podcasts in the universe.
Yes.
On Dig.
I heard there was one in Alpha Centauri that was really, catching up to us.
Oh, those bastards.
Steve, can I play one more quote, segment from shows
this
year?
Yeah, one last
one. Okay.
Where does that leave print journals, though, Steve? What's the guy who's struggling to figure out what their place is in all of this? Seriously. Although, luckily, people still like to read on the can. Having something tangible in your hand is still a niche for that. I couldn't think of any other way to say it. That's what it comes down to.
Tight, and you're like, you pull out a tube of toothpaste, you read that. Anything other than not reading.
Oh my God, it wasn't just me? Holy
what is
crap.
With you guys? What I have never read a single thing on the toilet.
You are not human.
I'm not a boy. This has got to be a guy thing. And okay, let's throw this out to the audience, please. I have actually wondered about this. I'm pretty sure that this is just a guy thing. Girls, first of all, girls don't poop. But second of all, aside from that fact, girls just don't spend that much time on the toilet. I think we get in, we get it done, and then we get out. We spend all our time in front of the mirror.
Then why do you go to the toilet in groups?
Because we have to talk. It's different. We talk. And we talk while we're doing our makeup.
It says you can cheer each other on. Go for that piss, baby. You look like a racehorse.
Just so we're clear, you just quoted Andrew Dice Clay.
Happens to be a brilliant man. But I want to just say, wow. I don't know about reading.
You just lost a lot of fans.
I am on the cutting edge. I have a television in my bathroom.
Thank you
very much.
Wow.
So when I sit on the can, I can get absorbed into a program. I could sit there for an hour.
Have a television.
If you can't hear, I'm clapping. A TV in the bathroom. Holy
shit.
As lucky as I am, as incredible as that is, it's not good for the O-ring to sit on the can for more than an
hour. Oh, I'm sorry. I got to disagree.
Perry, you are my exact opposite in every way.
Sometimes I lounge in a tub for hours.
I don't even own a television. You have a television in your bathroom.
I've got five TVs in this house. Television's everywhere. You got to monitor what's going on, you know?
Perry and Rebecca like matter and antimatter. Is that what you
said? Right? We are. We can never be in the same room or the universe will collapse.
But you never got a marriage proposal from me.
That's true.
So there you go.
Well, it won't really collapse.
I'm not complaining.
Just burst into a a bunch of gamma rays, but it's still nasty.
I urge everyone to get a TV for their can. Thank you.
Or a toilet for your computer.
Hey, why not just install a toilet in your armchair, Terry?
Yeah. Okay, don't give him any ideas. Don't give him any ideas. Every day I take breath. I realize that you are more and more like Cartman. That will make sense.
I don't know if he's got a TV in his bathroom, but...
No, but if he grew up and were real, he would.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
Steve, I don't remember if I said last year, but... I don't think I'm speaking for everyone, but I hope I am. Steve, thank you for the year. You know, you did an amazing amount of work. You put in more time and energy into this. The show really is you. You know, you do all the heavy lifting, post-production work. I said this to Steve in a phone conversation not too long ago. You know, Steve's my brother. I love him. I have, total comfort. You know, he's one of my best friends in my reality. But Steve also is one of my heroes.
Thank you, Jay.
I look up to my brother. It's weird, you know. I look up to him. You're an inspiration for me, and you're one of the reasons why I really enjoy my life. And I want to thank you. And I want to thank you for letting me be on the SGU with you.
Thank you, Jay. I appreciate that. And hey, I said it before. If this were just me blathering along, the show would not be where it is. And I wanted to thank all of you guys for a wonderful year, for being with me on the show week to week. It makes it extremely enjoyable for me, and that translates quite obviously to our listeners, to everyone out there. So thank all you guys.
Well, thank you.
Dankeschön.
I don't know what more to add to that, but thank you.
It's just a big love fest.
Aww.
We better shut this down before we all go into a diabetic coma.
It was a great year, guys. Here's to 08. Here's to bigger and better things.
Absolutely.
Onward and upward.
Here's.
And thanks for joining us, Mike, for helping us wrap up a wonderful year.
Thank you, Steve.
And
thanks Mike.
Again to all of our listeners out there. And we'll be with you again in 08. And until next week and next year, this is your Skeptic's Guide to the Universe. The Skeptic's Guide to the Universe is produced by the New England Skeptical Society in association with the James Randi Educational Foundation and SkeptChick.org. For more information on this and other episodes, please visit our website at www.theskepticsguide.org.
For questions, suggestions, and other feedback, please use the Contact Us form on the website or send an email to info@theskepticsguide.org. If you enjoyed this episode, then please help us spread the word by voting for us on Dig or leaving us a review on iTunes. You can find links to these sites and others through our homepage. Theorem is produced by Kinetto and is used with permission.